Hi, welcome. This is Cindy F. Solomon here on the Global Product Management Talk channel, and this is another in the Developing the Lean Spec series, talking with Malcolm Knapp. Hi, Malcolm.
Hi. This is Malcolm Knapp, and I'm with the Engineer Accelerator. We're a professional training program for embedded systems and electrical engineers who are getting into the industry. And this is one of the areas we take them through. And what we're trying to do with this series is to see how the lean spec translates over into the sort of product management zone from the sort of hardware engineering zone.
And also, so we can teach it at the Super Product Academy, which is project-based learning of product management. So people are actually working with a live product in applying product management knowledge and getting direct experience.
So today, last time we talked about the sort of the whole process about that you would go through. We went over sort of an overview of that. And so now what we wanted to sort of talk about, or I'm sort of interested to find out about, is how, and Cindy, we've been talking about this for a while, so the question is how would you integrate this into your process? And sort of where would you put it and that sort of stuff like that. So first sort of talk about the sort of issues that you have found sort of with running a product management, and then we can go from, how to work it in from there.
Yeah, so we were talking offline that weekly I do this product therapy where people can come to me at any point in their product life cycle, from inventors who have a product idea to founders who have developed a product, whether it's software, hardware, B2B, B2C, et cetera, et cetera. So weekly, I have some very interesting conversations in helping people grapple with what their current obstacle is. And that's what I was looking at. If someone, which often happens, that if they're in an early stage startup, they already have built the product, maybe, or they're at some point along the line when they're just discovering they didn't think of something, or often what I find in really what has been the whole reason for me being involved in product management is they haven't thought about, is there a market for this product? They solved a problem, so they came up with a solution and they proved they could solve it, which was very exciting. They never thought of how to monetize it or who would pay them for it, how to scale it, how to distribute it. There's all these other issues. So it occurred to me, could the process of thinking, of identifying what isn't known, that we're framing as what the lean spec is, would it be appropriate at any other stage? So if we're teaching this thinking, this approach of how to document everything that is known in order to walk through, to question from different perspectives what might have been missed, would it work later on in the product development stage? Or often, product managers are brought in then we're never asked, hey, what product should we build? We're often told, here's the product line we already have. We want to add a new innovation or maybe a new product line, or we built this product and it's screwed up. You fix it.
So what I would say is that we've talked about the lean spec in the context of when you're first starting out on a development process, before you have anything built at all. And that's sort of great in sort of application for it. I've also very successfully done this when you're in the middle of a build, or you've even have product out in the field, but things aren't working, and you're trying to figure out where you're at. So
right. You
can basically go through the same sort of process and identify what exists versus what needs to exist.
Beautiful. That's what I really want to zero in on, because that's really where most product managers would be, because generally an organization can't even afford product management or doesn't recognize until something's broken or something isn't working, or they need to scale quicker or better or They haven't thought about the competitive space. Mm-hmm. They just haven't, from an engineering point of view, mm-hmm. they've only thought about solving the problem, not how they're now going to scale or...
Yeah, so, you know, part of what so I think you can help with that when you're in the middle of a build or you're in development, you can help. Now, there's a different thing about, can it help with identifying markets? I think that it's because of the way it's structured, the questions you're asking are different, and so I think I don't know if it goes that far up the chain. It's sort of, you have to identify a persona, the person who's buying it, or the user. You have to identify people that you pay for, and those are sort of, they're fundamentally different questions than what you can build, that because they're really dependent on what's already out there. You know, what are the competitors you're dealing with? What is the cost structure of how things are run? You know, how cheap do you have to make it? These are very different questions that are that influence what you build, but are not, you know, not answering the question, what are you going to build? What product are you actually going to make right now? Which is what the lean spec is all about. So I think that it can definitely work, you know, from that point, from sort of when you found a market or up to, you know, through sort of, you know, when you're planning your build, and then through the build itself when you're trying to figure out, you know, sort of keep a status about where you're at. But going further up beyond that point, I haven't used it in that context, and I think it would probably have to adjust quite a lot to be applicable.
And so if you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about this lean spec documentation and process that Malcolm has developed for building electronics, for building hardware that includes software. And I have done a lot of work with startups and engineering teams and helping them think through their product, positioning it, marketing it, scaling, et cetera, et cetera. I'm actually thinking of a recent endeavor with a team that had been working on over a year, I think it was, when I came in on a social media product. Mm. Although they didn't know what they were building. They didn't really know what was needed in the social media space. Mm. They didn't know who the competitors were. They had a bunch of very interesting features, and they kept, I wouldn't even say pivoting, they kept changing what they were building because they wanted to launch it. And so I came in to help them launch. I discovered that they had a really powerful feature that they didn't even know, they didn't even appreciate because they weren't themselves social media practitioners. But they didn't have a process. There were five people on the team were all working on different aspects of the product. They didn't know what the other was working on. The engineering team leader kind of was directing them on what to do. There was no cohesive product that they ever understood, and there was a lot of overlapping in this. So they were all educating themselves and reading everything there was to read whenever I said, okay, well, this is content marketing. This is, you know, this is social scheduling. This is, they were all wanting to learn the space, but they had no clue about a cohesive product.
So it's about would this help them in this situation? What's the question is?
I'm thinking in retrospect, it would have helped me.
Okay.
Because I definitely put in a project management tool for them to start reporting what they were doing, and also driven by users' stories, so they could start appreciating what the user experience was.
Yeah.
But that quickly broke down when I left.
Yeah, so I think the thing is that there is a difference between when you're managing people in who are making something and sort of and how that works and the tools you use for that. What this is really about, what the Lean Spec is trying to do, is give an explicit representation about what you want to build. And so this, and like we were saying, this is associated with a set of documentation. And so it's not just a series of discussions where you're talking about it. You're actually writing things down. And, you know, what you write down has to be agreed on by everybody and has to be understood by everybody, because otherwise then you get these disconnects.
And I'm even thinking that it would have been a valuable tool for me at the beginning coming in to kind of do an assessment of what had they already all agreed on.
Yeah.
Because the story that was told me was the head of the team. Well, clearly the people on the team had totally different perspectives. None of them had a whole perspective, and even the head of the team was kind of desperate to deliver a tool or launch a tool from all of the work they had already invested.
Yeah, so this is the sort of thing, is that as we described last time, the process is really, you can do it and go to the different players and get their story. And the whole idea is sort of like, you know, I suppose, you know, when you're interrogating a suspect, that you're seeing if everybody's story lines up or doesn't. And the key things is to this is the synchronization, is that all the people, all the features and behaviors of the product should be, you know, everybody should have the same idea about what that set is, and they should all all those features and behaviors should synchronize with each other. They shouldn't conflict. And so that's what you're doing in this process, is you're writing everything down, but then you're also making sure that everything lines up together.
Right. And that was an issue when I think of it. Had I come in and interviewed each of the individuals, which I don't think I even had the authority to do that. My authority was working with the head of the team. I didn't really have direct access to the individual members other than at our team meetings, which, by the way, was all remote. It was all done through Skype, because I think one was in India and one was in Romania. But I did meet with the funder of the who was local. And so that's one of the things. I didn't have access to them. The other thing was, you're describing the result of the lean spec defining process would be a textural document, like an accordion, but almost like an outline form.
Yeah, an outline is a better
right.
word.
But when I think of that product, when I first came in, before I provided cohesiveness and gave them a product narrative and gave them a space and a market and identified the audience, I would have needed several vertical outlines, because each developer had their own set of features that almost had nothing to do with the other people. It had something to do in the big picture.
Well, so that's the thing. So to be clear, is it's that there's a textual sort of outline form document, but there's also a block diagram,
graphic,
and the point is that you have documentation that represents the type of information you're trying to capture.
Excellent.
That better represents it. So if you happen to have a situation that requires a table format, then a spreadsheet's really great for that. So this is not to sort of, this is to say that what you're doing is capturing the information you have. In the end, though, if you end up with a situation where you have three different lists, it sort of says, well, eventually there has to be one product, and so it should be one list.
Right.
And so you have to figure out the organization from there. And if the organization doesn't exist, that's really good indicator that you may be making two different things. You know, or you have to acknowledge that that is the case.
It was software, but we had to onboard, so there were many aspects of it. We had to onboard new people into it. We realized that we had to educate the users not only on how to use the software, but on the value of the software. So essentially, we were building a tool to enable people to manage their content marketing. And people didn't necessarily know what content marketing was. The tool was for people who had to promote content, but they didn't necessarily know the most effective way to do it. So we were building into the tool how to do it, why to do it, why to choose this campaign, when to schedule it. how best to design it for the different platforms, how to purchase advertising. It was pretty...
So the thing for me is that that does feel like you have two... You're doing two fundamentally different things, because there's running a campaign and doing the technical stuff about that, and then teaching someone how to do that.
Right.
And building the tool that enabled it
to be more efficient.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is that this indicates, when I'm thinking about that, is that if you have the content marketing system could exist without the educational part of it.
Right.
And so that may be what you need to do. You may need to educate people as well. But what the lean spec will show that you end up, that the sort of the way the features and behaviors group themselves, that will sort of reveal itself. And then you realize, you should maybe structure the company to have some people working on just the educational part,
well,
and some people just working on the content part.
I mean,
part,
some
yeah.
people were already on the team. They were working on the... the database aspect of essentially holding all the content that would be used within this scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the scheduling aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
There was the being able to pull in all the different social media platforms and then post back out to them.
So this is part of what we're getting at, is that because you're talking about, we can get into a big discussion about terms in a bit, but what I call features and behaviors, when you're talking about the functionality of the product, you're talking about, you have to be sort of precise about sort of what the product is, like does it exist, does it have a server, how many web pages are there, and then how it behaves, which is what it does, basically. And what the lean spec is about is capturing both those aspects, but in a formal or a structured way, so that you can really clearly understand when does the server get the data, how does it shift it around, what interfaces are there that have to integrate with, all that stuff can be captured in a very sort of quite a simple textual format. But the structure, but that's what the lean spec and learn how to do the lean spec is all about, is sort of being able to sort of tease out what the product is and what it does and what it interfaces with.
And the issue is, it's so much of that wasn't necessarily known up front.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were building a product, and I said, well, it's an online product, and I need to build the landing page or the website to get people using it, and that we almost couldn't separate that out from the product, because the user didn't have a distinction that they're leaving a website and now they're using the product. It was all one thing for the user, but there were different. It was a different team working on the external facing, then the actual software functionality, then the actual. There were so many different pieces.
Well, this is part of the thing, is that what it sounds like they ended up doing is they had, you're trying to characterize how complex the product you're making is.
Right.
And the moment you have to add in, you have a front-end team, you have a back-end team, you have a team that's working on educating how the user, how to use it, or how to do this content marketing in general, that's a completely different sort of functionality than that's curriculum almost.
Right.
And so what the lean spec is about, you can then start, this list gets longer and longer and longer, and there's more and more things in it, and you really start getting an idea that you're really, it's a big project you're talking about.
Right.
And
or how to scale back.
Yeah.
Because there's so much.
Yeah.
I'm not even, scope creep, but feature creep, and they kept wanting to add more things.
Yeah.
And I made a mistake that when I mentor other product managers, I didn't say no enough.
Yeah. Well, so this is the thing, is that what you're getting into, and this happens a lot of times, is that you get into a situation and you're trying to bound what you're dealing with.
Right.
And
and constrained.
Yeah. Well, but first you're trying to see what's there already. If you're coming into the middle of a build or in the middle of a product development, and then you have to sort of say, well, where are we going to go to next? And the Lean Spec is very good at the process of going through and interviewing. You interview every person who's involved, and this is what, if you're in this situation, you have to ask. Well, I'm in the middle of this. I'm trying. You know, we're coming in. Can I talk to the engineers?
Right. So I want to stop right there.
Yeah.
And here's where I find this very powerful tool.
Yeah.
Because instead of it being on the product manager, hey, I want to step on the team lead's toes and go talk to his people. You know, we don't want to undermine anyone's authority. But if it becomes about fulfilling the process that's going to create efficiency or better outcome, then it's about, hey, I want to do the lean spec process, and that it requires interviewing.
Yeah, and it's also not about saying this should be done this way or that way. It's saying where are we at right now, and let's organize where we're at. And so, you know, I did this in a company, and that's exactly what we did. Is I started out with the sort of engineering lead, but then I talked with the software people, I talked with the marketing people, I think, as well, and then I sort of went through with people, and it wasn't the position you put yourself in as a person running the lean spec is not you're not enforcing things. You're just recording. You're basically putting yourself in the terms of a recorder, and also trying to make sure that things line up. So you say, well, these things don't line up. What do we do about that? And then the answer can come back from the team what to do. But you revealed and you said, we can't, you said, here's a conflict or where things are desynchronized. Let's figure out what we do at that moment. And so your position is not of domination or enforcement. It's of sort of saying this is where of confusion in some way. Like, I'm confused about this issue. Let's figure it out.
And then in this scenario, then the product manager perhaps owns the documentation, but you're being transparent about it. You're sharing it with everyone.
Yep.
And you're asking them to validate. Hey,
yep.
Did I get this right?
Yeah.
Does this make sense?
This is what I'm hearing from you. Is this correct?
And so then it becomes a group effort to figure out when there is a conflict.
Yeah.
Or usually when I don't understand something, I always think, well, they probably understand it.
Mm.
Well, often, no, they don't. Mm. It just, they hadn't seen the conflict.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is that, when you go in, you're going in and you are putting yourself in the position of, well, I'm just trying to understand what's going on, when these issues come up, then you can say, let's figure out what to do about this together. That's what the ideal is, at least. I'm sure that there's situations that teams are very specific, and you have to sort of have the agreement of the team to go through the process, of course. But it's really about capturing what has been the situation, what's been done up till that point,
right?
And then making sure it all lines up together.
And it takes time, and there's always pushback. Hey, we don't want to waste any more time thinking about this. We've thought about this. We want to move on to building. And that was an issue with this team also. They had been working for a year, and I don't know how many times they had changed the product before I came on.
Well, but that's the thing is that the Lean Spec is about building making decisions about the thing you are building. So by going through that process, you are doing the intellectual work of building the product. So it's not like you're going to throw it away, or it's going to be you're just going to put it to the side and be done with it. It's just going to not impact anything going forward. It is the product. It's just the virtual form of the product.
It's the textural, it's the model. It's a representation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's done in as we were saying, your brain can simulate anything, and so what you're doing is you're simulating the product in your brains of the team. And so you are building it.
But so you have the shared vision of it.
Yeah.
You have the shared representation in everyone has the same thing in their brain.
Yeah, so, and that's the goal in the end, because if you don't, then you get, you sort of guaranteed when you try and fit stuff together, or there'll be mismatches.
So we started off talking about when is it appropriate to use this process. So it occurred to me, could it be used within the design thinking process, which is pre-build? It's a design thinking is actually going out and talking to people to empathize, to validate where is there a problem that needs a solution.
So the way I think about it is that that's need finding, basically, is my understanding of it, correct? So what I was sort of thinking is that there's sort of, it basically goes in between need finding and implementation. It's the step of translating a need into something that can be sort of actually built. But it doesn't necessarily have to restrict these. It's not saying you have to use this specific hardware. It's saying this is what the product should do, and so it's more implementation independent than and so that's sort of why it's not part of implementation. It's separate because it's saying we have this need. What is the product that fulfills that need? But then it doesn't necessarily constrain you about how you actually, you know, what the specific chips you use or what the specific code you write is. You can do that in many different ways.
And also, it's almost a living document in that the lean spec exists simultaneously while you're validating the business model, while you're identifying the positioning of the product or the narrative or the messaging or all the, what is the market potential for it.
Well, if you found a need, then you can build a product to meet that need. But there still may not be a market for it. It could be a market too small or whatever like that. So I could say it could be done in parallel to all that. But you know, if one of the biggest questions is how much you can pay, how much will people pay for it, or how much you want to sell it for, and that directly impacts what you can buy for your hardware. So is it $50 for your target cost or $500? And that number comes from all the market research and all that sort of stuff of that sort. So I would say you don't, it can live in parallel, but there are some, information from those processes do feed into the lean spec.
Because, what I tell people, when you get hired into a senior position as a product manager or product marketing manager, they're not asking you what you should build. They're saying you're coming on into a product line. There's a product in existence at some that has been making money to grow the organization to this point. And you have to sustain it, grow it, expand it, and not necessarily and very rarely are you saying, no, we're not building that.
Yeah, so I mean so this is the question, So there's a question of how much freedom of action or design freedom you have when you are in your build. I mean, it could be adding, adding just a more performance to an existing product. And so, the lean spec is about, when you're first, I was doing it for product development, when you're first doing first prototypes and that sort of stuff like that. If you're dealing in a situation where you have an existing line and you're doing very incremental design improvements, it's less impactful.
Right, because it's often, in a mature product or in a mature market space, perhaps you're customizing it for a specific market or you're white labeling it for a specific customer or you're enhancing it for a specific need.
Yeah, and so I would say that there it's sort of, in that situation, then you are, it's because a lot of the information that it's designed to reveal has already been taken into account because you've had a product line that's been out for a while and that stuff has come up to the surface other ways. I mean, the moment you hit actual customers, a whole bunch of stuff comes back to you immediately. So, I would say that when you really do start getting into full production or you're getting into much more mature products, it's less, you can go through the process, but it's because you know, all that work has sort of been done before, I would say, you know, it would be less of an impact than for a new sets.
But there's something of value to almost work backwards to identify, to fill in this lean spec for an existing product, to onboard new people coming onto the team,
exactly,
to understand what are all the features, why do they exist, what are the decisions, almost to represent, here are our existing products, but also if the lean spec could be created even as a deconstruction of the product, it's also a way to look at where could we do improvements.
Yeah, so, and I agree. And so I think that if you're doing it in that circumstance, you're doing it to basically just capture what you have. And so it's a sort of documentation process. I do agree that once you have it together, then explaining a product to someone else becomes much easier, because you can just go through the lean spec and say, here's all the information, do you have questions about it? It also, what I really like, what it does allow you to do is to do, they have this term refactoring, right, in code, where you go and you simplify, you write the code and then you simplify it because you realize all the things you can get rid of. Well, you can actually do architectural or product level refactoring as well, where you can see that certain things are redundant, or you can organize them in clearer ways at different levels of abstraction. So refactoring of code is really, really low level. We've talked about this sort of informational hierarchy before. You can refactor at the higher levels as well, up to the lean spec or the product level. You can refactor that as well.
So when you're teaching this, is this like one of the things that you call out in teaching it? Because I think this would be really valuable in a project-based teaching of it, where people have their product and they're using the lean spec to deconstruct it.
Well, it's something that you can do. By putting it in that form, you can sort of visually or see where things are messy. I mean, I like to use aesthetics one of my markers about design and stuff like that. If you make a picture and it looks messy, you're drawing all the connections between different products, parts of a product, or and it looks messy, it probably means that things could be simpler, And so I think that it is definitely possible to see how to simplify things by going through this process.
And also, is the lean spec applicable to one product, or could it be applicable to a product line or a system?
So interesting. I think yes. It's fractal, as I was saying before. Is that just as you can expand and contract one, you have this sort of list that you can collapse down. You could have then it could be part of an even bigger list that can collapse and expand down. So it definitely can work at multiple, at even bigger levels of abstraction, system level versus just product level, because sort of the systems thinking is every block has more blocks inside of it, which have more blocks inside of that, and all the way down, or all the way back up again, so the conceptualization of that could expand out to a whole system of products, because that in itself is a product. The system is a product, as well as all the parts of it.
And I can see the things that product managers have taught are building the roadmap of when we're going to not only release new products, but as many different roadmaps that they have to be in charge of, from the technical build, just so they can communicate about it, to when we're going to release new features, and that roadmap can't be too specific to the public because you don't want them to hold back on purchasing the product until the feature that they want exists. So there's a different roadmap for the salespeople, there's a different roadmap for the board, there's a different roadmap for internal, and marketing needs to know when you're going to release things so they can build the programs around it. So I had been thinking up to now that this almost parallels a roadmap, but actually no. This might inform some of the details to the technical roadmap, but it's a very different document. Where almost I'm thinking now that the Lean Spec is a vertical textual document that expands to, you know, up and down, but in a vertical way. Roadmaps tend to be horizontal, but they're just visual communication devices.
Yeah, well, but the thing is that you can basically map, you know, you can sort of pull out what features and what behaviors will show up in which, at which milestone in your roadmap, basically.
So that's very
exciting. And so something that you can, so basically you could just put a marker inside the Lean Spec and saying, this is what will be done in release one, and this will be done in release two, and so forth, you know. And so it is possible to, I mean, I definitely have done this, is where people bring up ideas that, and it, when we look at the, what's going to happen, we say, well, we won't do that anymore, we won't look into it anymore, but we'll put a placeholder in the Lean Spec to say this is going to be done in the future, you know. And so it's something you can definitely do, and it will be captured.
Well, something we've been talking about offline is different software that's now available, and there's more and more offerings specifically built for product managers, as well as all kinds of software for managing the project of the build. So actually one of the people who has built a product management software product board works out of, we're broadcasting from the Port Workspaces in Oakland, and he was working out of here. He recently got a bunch of funding. So I'm going to invite him to join us. Because I think somewhere inside his product there's a Gantt map, and you just opened up the possibility that the Lean Spec builds is identifying all the features that could then feed into the Gantt to actually manage the man hours required.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, as we talked about last time, when you're done with the Lean Spec, when it's sort of, you know, sort of coalesced, you can then map all those, because you now have numbers of features and behaviors, you can then and map those into time estimates, because each feature and each behavior has an associated set of tasks that need to be done for that, to complete that, the implementation of that that feature or behavior. So, so it does map directly into project management, and it also allows you to scale your project management hours based on what you're trying to build. And so it there's a clean sort of transition to that.
Excellent. So before we wrap up, my question is, in getting ready to teach this in a project-based atmosphere where people are coming in with their product idea, or we're working on a live product that's in some place of development, or certainly has commitment to it being built or enhanced or launched. What almost prerequisites? What should people already know or already be prepared in order to engage in the Lean Spec process?
Well, it's a big question, I would think. So it depends quite a bit about the product, you know, what area you're making. I mean, for me, as we talked about before, this impacts the industrial design, and impacts, and you know, software and hardware. And so if you want to go through this, there you need sort of knowing about those different areas, like the, at least at the sort of high level, like I said, the block level. So knowing, understanding the sort of conceptual signals and systems for the area that you're working in. So you don't have to understand the specifics, the specific level of code, exactly how to do the models, whatever like that, but you need to understand the sort of block level, you know, sort of place, floor planning or whatever else you need to do to be able to do this level of, to be able to sort of know at the high level how something would be made.
Okay, and so you kind of answered my question in listening to you also, or if you don't know that, you have to either bring with you or have a rapport with those people on the team that could answer all the questions you're going to have, and you're going to have to learn how to ask those questions in their language.
Yes. So, you know, this sort of thing is, it does require being able to sort of learn and repeat, or sort of listen and then repeat back, basically.
Right,
you
and
know?
By language, I mean their technical language or their their discipline, their functional orientation.
Yeah, and so you're doing this interface, and so the idea is to know enough about the issues that they're, that domain is dealing with, so that you can understand what they're saying and repeat it back to them and saying, this is what I understand you said, is that correct?
Right.
And then you put everything together, and so, but there is some knowing that level is what you want to get to.
Great, and thank you. I mean, my head just started exploding with this process would help entrepreneurs who only have one perspective on the product to open them up, and it would improve their products from the get-go because they would see what they didn't know and what areas of expertise they required to inform. So I want to start using it for product therapy.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
great. Okay,
great.
Well,
thank
this was
you,
fun
Malcolm.
As always.
Always. And I look forward to continuing the conversation. In case we take a couple weeks off for Thanksgiving or whatever, this is an ongoing development, and I think that the conversations, even up to now, have been quite valuable.
Yeah, this has been great, so we'll talk more in the future.
Great. You can hear this on blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. It is also out on iTunes, and you can go to startupproduct.com under broadcasts and look for the Lean Spec series. Thanks, and have a great week.
Yep.